Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Matt Man at 9.
Yes, sir. I'm Matt Man. He's 9.
Hell yeah, you are. And me, and I am too. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, you are. Come go with us.
Yeah.
I ain't leaving yet. It is the Rise Guys After Hours with. Thank you so much for listening. We really do. Hopefully you all had a great holiday season, New Year's, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah.
I imagine you did. If you did, if you didn't, I don't want to hear about it. Because in my mind, it's already made up. You had a great time.
Yeah, you did. Everyone did. Yep. Everyone in the world.
I'm glad you had so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you. you know, we, from our morning show, and from this podcast, we took a little hiatus. Not hiatus. That sounds like there was problems.
Took a vacation.
Vacation.
Yeah, you call it what it is. It's fine.
But we do, on our morning show, on the Rise Guys, we do pigskin picks, football picks.
Yeah, we did.
And that ends with a punishment called pigskin punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Jackass meets Impractical Jokers type stunny stuff.
That's the closest we came to work while we were off, was doing our pigskin picks on the live stream from home.
You and I did.
Or our separate homes.
We do not live together.
No, no.
Nor have we ever.
No. No, we haven't.
It's weird. I this wouldn't have lasted, had
no,
we.
No, Lord, no. We both enjoy living alone.
So, while we were doing that, I was out on my back porch / personal sanctuary where I have a variety of things.
Yeah.
It's just real nice. Yeah, it's in swing.
They have a front porch and a back deck.
Yeah. A big one?
Big back deck, yeah.
Back?
Back.
Oh, deck.
Yep, that's the one. Big back deck.
Big back deck.
That's the one. If I had the bell, I'd give you a ding.
I misheard you.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? Nevertheless, I was out there in my swing.
Plum silly.
Swinging back and forth. Nine was in some kind of trance room, it looked like.
I was in the living room. I got my lights in there. I got my cool lights on.
Looked like the inside of a skating rink.
It kind of did, but way cooler.
Very way cooler. So, you know, we've been doing radio, we've been doing the Rise Guys morning show since we've now entered almost officially our 19th year.
Yeah.
And I don't know at what point into it, you nine will know the minute I start into this, and you know where I'm going with this as well. It's more of like a behind the scenes kind of beyond the mat kind of, what was the one on Vice?
Dark Side of the Ring?
Dark Side of the Ring. You know, they kind of go behind the scenes on stuff. I'm out there on the swing. It's pitch black outside. It's nighttime. And I got all my sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Ray-Ban style, sunglasses.
Yeah.
Wayfarers. And I'm reading the comments, not live at the time because my phone was effed up, but I was looking at them later. And people are like, why is he wearing sunglasses? Why is he wearing sunglasses? And I was like, you know, I've said it before, but maybe I need to give a more in-depth reason as to why.
Why?
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 That I do not like to be videoed or photographed without my sunglasses.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because people ask you that all the time. People ask me that all the time.
Listen, most of y'all time. I found my the original promo picture that photographer Patrick Cox took for us way back when, years ago.
I remember Pat Cox.
And, I'm a baby face looking kid. I had no tattoos on my arms at all. And I was just thinking about, that time and the way things were. I don't know. It's a weird mindset anyway. But I'm sitting there and I'm trying to actually right now I'm trying to think of the point that I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm, with the old promo picture from Pat Cox.
Right, but you said that and then my mind went in the gutter. I was gonna make a joke back to you and I forgot my original intent of the conversation.
Something about wearing sunglasses.
There we go. That was the only promotional photo I ever. You're good at that, dude. There's two of you in this world. And I was like, that's the only time I was ever photographed for radio purposes, promotionally, without the sunglasses.
Those ones we had on the blue work shirt type shirt?
Yes.
The goatee back then. Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
Camouflage hat.
Yeah.
And a jacket at one point.
Was it more of a goatee or more of a Van Dyke?
You know, I don't know.
Mm.
It was spotty.
Yeah.
It was just not good. Not very good. So I combined that with, and I was like, hey, you think folks listening would care? And he's like, yeah, nine does. So why do I wear them? It started off with this. There used to be a local TV station, a local CBS affiliate, that would do local programming, like a 30-minute or maybe it was 1 hour show nightly.
Yeah, man. It was
pre-taped.
The local CBS affiliate.
Yeah. And I went on there. I'm being very honest. It was more of just, hey, I'll go in there and promote the show. They offered it to you too, Jimmy, at the beginning. You didn't want to do it. I feel like you didn't want to do it.
No, I didn't want to do it. I mean, I went a couple times here or there, but I didn't want to do it much.
I was thrilled to do it because I ate it up because I was like, anything to promote the show, anything, blah, blah, blah. So you'd get on there. I don't even know what the show. Oh, I don't want to say the name of the show. But I'm not.
Do you think we gave them more viewers? Than they gave us more listeners. Honestly.
Oh, we fed them way more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people would start watching. Hey, man, they reference whatever.
Yeah, the only people who watched it were like the people who wanted to see their guests that their guests brought with them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it didn't really have an audience.
They also had a change of host, and then that kind of changed the whole dynamic. But I would go on there, and so the first time I go, the segment that we would be featured on from time to time would be one where they would bring up three or four topics.
Yeah.
And you would say your point, counterpoint. And over time, they would try to pair you with other people that usually contrasted you very, very differently in
opinion. Get some hot takes going. It's now the format for everything related to sports on television, that same format.
Hot takes.
Yeah. They love to, I mean, every sports show now is like a host giving like a couple panelists some hot takes or an opportunity to have hot takes.
Yeah.
As a sensitive question that results in hot takes, and they have opposite hot takes, and they argue about their hot takes.
I like hot takes with sausage.
Yeah, man.
And good syrup.
Yeah, I don't get breakfast there.
You know? Me neither anymore.
Yeah, I know. Right, glasses.
Oh no. But I'm the only reason I'm struggling is because I'm trying to think of the lady's name that they countered me with. But regardless of her name, she was great. I went in as who I am and she was as well, but she was, you know, she leaned in a very different way than I did, so it was a great contrast. Well, I don't know what happened, but something agitated me. It kind of pissed me off. But never to that point, I'll tell you that the first time I went on, I didn't wear the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the way my eye looked.
Well, it's also, see, when you started talking about that show related to the origin of the sunglasses, what I started thinking about was it's hard to figure out where to look when you're doing a show like that. I mean, especially at first, because you got a camera, you're not supposed to look at the camera, but you're looking at the host, and that's it's just uncomfortable, the whole thing about wherever you're looking is uncomfortable. But with the glasses, nobody knows where you're looking.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that could have certainly, you know, subconsciously played into it. It was just me, total aesthetics and vanity.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying, people will say, no, you don't have a lazy eye. But I have an eyelid that just droops a little more than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine to say it. I've never had a stroke. No palsies that I know of.
Yeah.
It's just the eye is shaped different.
Yeah.
And really, I only probably notice it. But
you know what? If you really pay attention or ask people, most people have one. I have one a little bit, yeah.
They say that that women's titties are different sizes.
They are. They absolutely are.
Have you ever looked at a pair?
I've seen some where you can kind of tell, absolutely.
Natural ones, though,
yeah,
not augmentation.
Yeah, no, natural ones. You can tell sometimes. You have to really pay attention and measure.
It's a game show.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a total vanity thing. So the next time I went in there, I was like, I'm going to wear sunglasses. And So then you go in, they didn't have like whole makeup people or whatever, but they'd have people sitting there like micing you up and you know, I guess for the women, maybe they'd dapper them up with some powder. I don't know
the
what.
The lady who did the audio was very nice. Always very, 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 sweet. Very nice lady.
Very sweet. The camera lady, she gives you a stern look.
I don't remember her. I remember the nice one. I don't remember the mean one.
Well, I walk in there. I was like, okay, I'm going to walk in with the sunglasses on. Am I going to continue to wear them? Am I going to be that guy? Because I know what people think about a guy that wears sunglasses. Ooh, yeah. Trying to be cool, whatever. But it was a more just a me thing. So I kept them on there. You want me to hold your glasses for you? No, I'm going to wear them.
Yeah.
Oh, they all look, oh.
Yep.
And I never felt, it gave me more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, I don't know if you remember the interview Sting did years ago, the wrestler Sting, where he's like when he would put his mask on, his face mask, or his face paint rather, that it would allow him to be more comfortable to be himself.
Yeah.
In a weird kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's some kind of barrier I put up. And then I noticed you'd get like some trolls, like I was saying, my pre-thoughts about people who wear sunglasses and stuff, like, what's this douche doing? Yeah. You think you're cool? And I was like, I kind of like fed into that, like, I'm going to keep wearing them now.
Yeah.
And every time, like, we had guests come in the studio over the years, I'd always get my sunglasses. I remember Charlotte Flair looking at me half cockeyed, like, mm-hmm. Why are you putting your glasses on to take pictures?
Yeah.
But that show, it just kind of wore on me. It was the same thing, the same.
There's never any benefit to it. That's probably, it's old fast.
That's why. So I concocted a scheme where they would never ask me to appear on the show again, and in doing so, also go out in somewhat of a blaze of glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was to insist that 9 be my point-counterpoint for this particular session of whatever that segment was called.
I had no idea what we talked about. I don't remember one thing.
I don't remember a thing. Other than we predetermined wrestled, booked it.
Yeah.
That I was going to say something that you didn't agree with, and you were going to reach over, grab my sunglasses, and drop them on the ground.
Yep.
I was then to stand up and push. Now, I don't know why the hell this was the second thing. I was going to push you over in your chair.
Yeah, it was that weird.
You're going to take a back bump.
It was that weird, like, modern style of love seat thing.
You ain't that high off the floor.
It was like sitting on this orange fabric bench. You have this orange round back part, backrest,
yeah.
That's elevated above an open space from the seat part.
It looked like also a chair high for enough. A really fat kid.
It was
like real short to the ground, but real wide.
Stupid design thing that probably cost a ton of money.
Also stupid to think that I was going to be able to flip you in it.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, on a regular chair would have been, a couch would have been, but the weight of that thing was odd, and the backrest was too low. Had the backrest come up higher, it would have gone.
We didn't tell any of them that we were doing that. We told nobody involved in the show that we were going to do this. That day, I remember saying to 9, I was like, will we, before I give you the full rundown, will this end up getting us in trouble with our radio job? And again, this was many, many years ago. I don't remember what you said exactly, but you said something to the effect of, I think it can only help.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just to not get us going back on that show or if it was this, that, or the other. So we get on there. We had agreed, 9 and I, that this was going to happen. The host did not have a clue. Whatever the first opinionated kind of segment thing was, I said what I said. 9 immediately... he said something, I immediately disagreed. And then you grab the glasses and drop them on the ground. And they're all looking like the host is looking at the camera person.
At this point, they're trying to figure out if it's a work or not, right? Seem like?
I don't know. I've never spoken to any of them since, sadly.
Never. Right? The only one I wouldn't mind speaking to is the lady who ran audio and mic'd us up and stuff. She was nice.
Yeah.
The hostess, I'm good on never seeing her again.
Yeah. And so my move that I was going to do, like I said, is to flip 9 over in this chair that you couldn't probably flip over someone who weighed 150 pounds.
Well, yeah, if the backrest had come up higher, then you could do it. But with that backrest being so low, it's impossible.
Yeah. So
unless you just get real low and do it in an unreasonable way.
Get low. So sunglasses on the ground. First time or second time now that I've appeared on film with no glasses on, so that's my route to be pissed at him. I go to try to push him over. It won't go.
Yeah.
We're live to tape. I go to push him again. who won't go.
And when you say live to tape, the way they formatted that show was they did it live. Like the entire, they aired it at 7:30 p.m.
Yep.
And they taped it around lunchtime. But they taped the entire 30-minute show live and consecutively with all the studio production elements going, and then mm-hmm. the cuts to the host. I mean, it was live to tape. That's
Except
what that means.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like doing a live show, but tape delayed.
Yeah. So I don't. At this point, I kind of.
So basically, they did a 30-minute show and they taped it in 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just want to clarify that point so people understand what we mean by live.
Oh, I haven't done enough TV to, I mean, I just know that from really that show, likely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so live to tape. And so it's going, there's, I can feel everybody around me. I can feel like hands are up in the air. I feel like papers are being thrown around. And I'm trying to push 9 over it. It ain't going. Yeah. And I don't remember if you said anything to me or what was said, but all I remember is, okay, I got to call it in the ring, brother.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it happened, but somehow you came to walk away.
I decided to stomp off.
And then leaving me there by myself.
Realizing I was still mic'd up.
Yeah.
So I go down the steps and realize, oh my God, I still got their microphone.
Yeah.
So I stomp back up the stairs.
Again, I'm hung out to dry during all this.
What was I to do? I couldn't break character.
I should stomp off first. You attack me.
You were about halfway flipped backwards.
Well, I still should. That's why I should have stomped off first.
I didn't know what to do at the moment.
I'm just sitting here. Here, let me stand here and hold my dick.
This is where I don't know what was. This is great. Because I go up and I'm saying, oh, my God, I don't know if they're still taping, if 9 is saying something now, if he's about to walk up on me. So I go up there and I'm thinking, okay, at least be nice. Blockbuster taught me this. I wound the little cord on the little box, and I was going to put it at the top of the steps. Yeah. I saw you getting ready to walk away. I see the cameras are still position lights are on. So I'm like, okay, I need to powder out of here, get down real fast. Again, everybody there thinks this is real, at least did halfway through it. I don't know what. And then what happened? I don't know. In all these years, you probably have told me, those 5 to 10 seconds, maybe a little bit longer, did you say anything as you walked away?
No, I mean, the people were like, what happened? What are you guys up to? What are you guys doing? Or what happened? Or are you okay? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whatever questions. I didn't really answer them in short, maybe. I don't remember what I said, certainly.
Did you take the mic off?
Yeah, I took my own off, yeah.
Because that's the thing.
I took mine off, and then I just stomped off down the steps and out of the building.
And
we taped it in a place that sold, it was a tire store, but it was a tire company store, so they didn't actually sell tires, but they sold T-shirts and koozies and fanny packs and all kind of merchandise featuring the tire company's logo.
But they don't sell tires there.
No.
We'd set up there and hear people come in. Hey, do you guys have Jeep tires here?
Yeah.
We don't actually sell them here, but we have koozies.
Yeah, like, why are you looking for Jeep tires here, in this part of this area? Why?
Why? Again, we were never asked to return to the show. We've been back on that show now. I think it's actually gone now.
Yeah, we were back on. That was the original host. We were on a couple times with the newer host.
The newer host, yeah. To promote our 28-hour Toys for Tots shows.
Uh-huh.
But I was so, and I don't know that I've ever told you this, Jimmy, I probably have, but I was so embarrassed. Like, literally, you know me when it comes to stuff like that. I'll usually tape it and mm-hmm. print it out and make it into a plaque. I never watched it.
Why were you so embarrassed by it?
Because I couldn't flip you. I was botchamania in it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I didn't have my sunglasses on.
No.
Oh.
Wasn't that? Was it that?
That's funny.
I don't even know what happened to the glasses. Did you grab them? Or
I think you got him on your way out.
Okay, did I was sitting here thinking, not it. I just sacrifice him.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him. If you left him laying there, I'd stomp him before I'd take him up and take him.
That'd
great. We working, brother.
That'd be great. We're never asked to come back on there, but it so.
Yeah, that the original hosts got pretty mad about us.
Well.
They're pretty mad at us.
Rightfully so. I suppose. Although, again.
Yeah, we did screw her over, but, for our own good.
And we brought in a lot of our fans would watch that show a lot of times. It brought them into it.
But hey, we need to take a break real quick, so hold that thought.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And then with, so it became like more the fuel to the fire was, what do you wear them sunglasses? So it became that. But, you know, here lately, and I guess pre-COVID, when we would have guests in the show, come into the studio, rather, I would make crap tons of notes. Just be prepped for the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how far apart we are right now, let's say 6 feet.
Yeah, about 7.5 feet.
When you have someone in the studio, I mentioned Charlotte Flair earlier, wrestler, whoever, when you're in there, you want to look them in the eye when you're talking to them.
Yeah.
You don't want to be looking at your notes and losing eye contact because, you know, everything about psychology with that. So with the glasses, it always allowed me to be nodding and talking to them, but looking at my notes or whatever. Yeah. So it became kind of like a cheat sheet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Used it to my advantage.
Yeah. And then we kind of evolved past too many notes for interviews too, because an interview isn't a series of questions and answers. It's, you have to feel it and flow through it.
Oh, for sure.
I love a good interview. I wish we had chances to do more good interviews. I think it's such an art to that conversation. Just the feeling and the flow through it where you don't just, you know, so many people suck at interviews, man, and I hate it. And there's not many people do it well anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think the big COVID, you know, and still even now, January 4th, 2022, we can only have four people at a time in the studio.
Yeah.
There's four people on our morning show.
And that's unfortunate. We have a kid who wants to job shadow us next week. We can't let him do it.
I even said, look, I'll go sit out in the car for an hour. Let the kid come in.
They I said, I'll go home. He can do my job for an hour.
They would not let Nine go home and do this. So the one thing, though, that's often, and I know you have to be a professional. And only was it maybe in the last couple of years, Nine, I think, fully told me his thoughts on this. I always enjoyed the thought of seeing Johnny Carson or David Letterman or whoever sitting there at his desk, and he welcomes out, here comes Adam Sandler. And then they sit there and they have this conversation, and it seems so organic. And, well, yeah, I was reading in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Never did I realize that they had met in the green room prior. The press, his PR people gave him some notes.
They've been over this. The host has notes. Yeah.
So I always loved the candidness of a celebrity type walking in live, we're on the air, and them setting down.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, you told me, you're like, you know what? I think that makes him way more nervous.
Oh, it absolutely does.
And I never thought about it. Like, it's me trying to do better radio, but I realized the selfishness in that.
Yeah.
It was about me feeling more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. But the goal was they're supposed to be comfortable in your studio.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you got this monstrosity of a studio, but the glasses would allow that. But yeah, back to the point about interviews now being syndicated, we're on time, like, so structured, you know. Now we just started our new market in New Orleans on welcome to those of you that are listening to this for the first time.
Our Bayou crew, we're part of the Bayou crew.
So let's say we have I'm not gonna say the first name, it just came to my head.
What?
Well, I will.
Do it.
Donna Summers here, folks.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't. But Donna Summers, awesome.
Oh, Donna, we've only got baby, you can have me for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but we can talk for this amount of time, and then we're going to break for 5 minutes.
Yeah, our interviews, it would be very tough for us to do live interviews right now, at least on the morning show. We could do them other formats, like off hours videos and that type of stuff.
Maybe but as far even as, after hours.
Yeah, especially after hours. But as far as live interviews in between 6 and 10 or 5 and 9, depending on where you listen, then that's really impossible to pull off now.
It's
at least enough to be of any value.
Yeah, because we're going to sit there, like, let's say I'll give you the next name I thought of for some reason, a guest we've had in the studio before, Booker T,
yeah.
WWE Hall of Famer, Harlem Heat fame.
He's a king, you know.
He, King Booker.
Yeah.
He, you know, was the guy that we had like an hour with when many years ago when they were coming through town. And he stayed in the studio an hour, but we had to take four breaks, as we did four breaks an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And it took two breaks to warm him up.
Yeah,
because we were talking off the air.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff we couldn't talk about on the air.
Yeah.
And then it just finally, it kind of sunk in, like, okay, you got to warm him up a little bit, but impossible to do that without more handlers and people in being passed notes. Bring up, I hate that too. Hey, mention this when you have Booker T in there. His wife, Charmel, just started a nail polish line.
Yeah.
Okay, mention that. Make it sound organic though. You saw it.
Yeah, they'll do stuff.
I can't do that.
Yeah, but you know that's not a real interview though.
No,
in that case, it's not a real interview. Has to have some sort of integrity where you're not plugging. You're not plugging products. You let them plug their stuff because that's kind of why they're there.
Yeah,
but as far as the interview portion goes, it has to have some integrity to it.
So are we saying here we can? I mean, of course we knew this, but I'd love to center in on this being our first episode of 2022, baby. That we try to do those. We have a lot of time of forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
even
yeah,
if it goes long, we break it up into a segment or two, like Netflix does with their 6-hour movies.
Yeah, they do.
Right, Jimmy?
Yeah. You want to move your 7.5 hours? No, that's stupid. Well, what if we broke it up into hour-long episodes and you watch the whole thing at once? Absolutely. Let's
love
go.
Love that, man.
You son of a bitch. I'm in.
That's so good.
That's good stuff, man. I love it.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. You know, and it's something that, you know, with the if there's any meat left on the bone with the sunglasses, it became part of a thing that it made me feel more at ease if there's video or
anything
like that.
Oh, yeah, it does, man. Yeah, it's the best like that.
And it also kind of still, you know, it's always still fun to me. Why is this moron doing that? It also, you know, this before I even had, like, this beautiful, big, luscious beard.
Yeah.
But it became like a thing. Like, you see all these people in radio, especially, like, dudes in radio, they all dress
what's
the
up,
same.
Radio dude.
They all look the same. They all have that same Ryan Seacrest haircut where it's just like, it looks like, oh, I just ran some pomade through the hair.
We're all pretty lame.
Took 4 hours to do it.
Yeah, we don't like them.
I don't look like that.
We don't like that sort too much.
No. Plus, I have the eyelid thing. You'll start looking at pictures of me now.
Well, I think you find out, if you have that same thing and it's not really noticeable to other people, but you notice it about yourself, you should get in touch with @OMatthew and let him know that you have that. Like, hey, man, I have that too.
Look, I'm going to take my glasses off. Do you notice?
You look like Popeye right now. I ain't accurate.
Yeah, and if you want to holler at 9, he is, which one do you want to hit this week?
Oh, man, at Nueve on Twitter. I've been having a lot of fun on Twitter lately. If you like to tweet.
Nueve.
Yeah, I haven't used Instagram much because it's just pictures and pictures.
You're enjoying Twitter. May I delve into that?
You know, part of it is that Twitter gives me a lot of a peace of mind in the opposite direction. It's kind of like how you can lead by a good example, but you can also teach a lot of lessons leading by a bad example.
Like, are you trying to be a Twitter outlaw?
What, by not being a dick all the time? Yeah. Yeah, I compliment people on there and they hate it.
What is with that? Let me go back to this. On Twitter, you and I both have the blue check mark. We're verified.
I troll people on Twitter by being nice to them. It's awesome. It's wonderful.
And you notice that by being super nice.
Yeah. Or just regular nice.
That
super.
they don't respond to
Oh,
that.
They hate it. They can't stand
but
it.
When
they're
you,
just there to, people are just there to argue.
But you know, I'd say who? But the person yesterday that was on a Monday, someone... You made somewhat could be taken as a negative comment to him, and then they tried to like quote you, and so it's the dichotomy of that. You give somebody a compliment, they don't give a damn, but if you talk shit, oh my God, I'm gonna bust your balls.
It's in the world now, man.
Who was the ball player that time that got busted for having a burner account and talking?
Kevin Durant was one.
KD.
Yeah, and it's funny that dude's one of the best in the league and has been for well over 10 years, but he's had a burner account. Because he's that insecure about how good he is at basketball. And he's one of the best in a long time.
I don't have a burner account. I've got a burner.
I've never had a burner.
I got an account for my business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, two businesses, but none like under like a fake name or anything
like
that.
Yeah, I've never had a burner account. It's dumb to do. Then again, we do know a guy who was making up fake girlfriends for himself on Instagram and Facebook a couple years ago.
Fake hands, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you'll see this right here, folks, and you, this is going to be like a mind blower.
Uh-huh.
You're going to see pictures of people that are asleep on Instagram.
Absolutely. This is the best thing in the world. This dude was the best at it.
Who the hell took his picture?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When they're trying to pretend that they're alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you'll see people pretending to sleep and by themselves. This guy would take it a step further. He'd be pretending to sleep, and he would be saying that, and it'd be a caption like, she took it. So this, his fake girlfriend that he made up is taking pictures of him and posting them on his Instagram or his Facebook. But you can look at the picture, and if you actually look at it, you can clearly tell that he's laying here taking the picture with an arm out while he's pretending to sleep, and then he's acting like this imaginary girlfriend did it and posted it on his account.
He must have an old iPhone.
And there's a caption she wrote. Nuts, dude. Like Norman Bates crazy.
And then she would go on and make comments like, ooh, baby, you look so hot.
Yeah,
three seconds later, thanks, baby. You should know you took the pic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the whole caption with the picture would be like, he's so cute when he's sleeping, but he's going to kill me when he finds out I did this.
You know, we've
pretend girlfriend. This dude was like around 40 with pretend girlfriends at the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's older than that now. That was years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because he was in his well into his 40s. You're absolutely right, yeah.
But, you know, it's like the whole catfish mentality. Like, I'm over that show. I did watch a little bit of it from time to time just because it was a spectacle. But, man, like, I guess I'm very, very aware now, very aware of, like, mental health more so than ever.
Yeah, that's why it's bad for you to watch any of those 600-pound, 1,000-pound sisters and catfish and stuff.
Well, I wasn't going to say that as much as it's people.
True crime, very bad for you to watch, very bad.
You'd have old Neve and his old gray-headed buddy walk in there with the camera and everything, and they would expose the person as being a fraud, but never would they say, all right, we're going to head out of town now, found out you were pretending to be a hot blonde. You're a fat brunette. And they didn't ever do any kind of, well, we need to maybe get them a little bit of help.
Or at least not in public. Maybe they did behind the scenes. I don't know. But they should have talked about it more on the show, certainly, if they were doing it for that reason, they would have talked about it more.
Now, I would hope that they did, but I doubt that they did because it was Viacom property.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you have to be careful what you take in and what kind of mood you're in when you take it in, too.
Right.
You know,
talking about gauges?
No, certain types of moods and certain types of things you watch, certain things you listen to when you're in those moods that otherwise you wouldn't. And it's not always the best time for that.
I know that I pay attention to the news in small doses. In other words, I don't sit there and watch the news for an hour. I go and pick the news that I'm interested in. And when I would pay attention more to like the local stuff, and this is primarily, I guess, during COVID times or whatever, when I would leave the house right after watching the news, I was so pissed.
Yeah.
And it affected my driving, and it affected probably the language I used in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say words like shit and titties and hockey.
The thing that is weird on Twitter specifically is somebody says something that is controversial, like laughs at the wrong thing, says the wrong thing, and then everybody jumps down their throat in a ridiculous extent. And that makes me feel better about where I am in life and how I am in life. The utter toxicity and evil of Twitter, it really makes me take stock of what I've been able to do with myself. And you feel a lot better because I'm not in restaurants trying to punch people. Or I'm not jumping down people's throats on the internet. You know, I'm generally cordial enough, easy going.
Do you think that, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, look, the whole world, with the exception of maybe the 1%, have went through literal hell the past 16, 18 months, whatever it's been, maybe longer, I don't know.
About 24 months here, longer than that in other places.
Have people always been overreacting like this? And we just never had everybody there with cell phones or access to the surveillance cameras.
Yes.
So it's always been going on.
Yes, it has.
We just would hear tell about it, but never see it.
Yeah, and there were far fewer people then, too.
You got to think. But I was thinking, like back in the saloon days, you'd go in there, order your whiskey. If it wasn't enough of a shot, you pull out your gunslinger, or you would be the gunslinger. You pull out your gun, shoot the bartender dead.
Why not?
That happened all the time.
And then things did. Things were crazy. It's a wild world.
But it's that weird history that it's like You think now 2022, you think back, oh, the 40s and 50s, yeah. It was a gentler time. Yeah. I say bull crap.
Absolutely was a gentler time in ways, but from what perspective, from whose perspective, and the perspective of other people, it was a horrible, awful time.
From like, histories, I mean his story.
Yeah, like, you know, our great-grandpa, mm-hmm. Yeah, the 30s and 40s were a great time because they were too old to fight in the war. They didn't have to worry about that.
They were white.
They were getting prosperous again after coming out of the Great Depression, and they were white is most important of all.
Yeah, now, and I'm saying that from the history side of things.
Well,
not
yeah,
any
and
kind
you have
of
to
condemning way.
And if you ask the same thing to someone from another race,
absolutely,
then well, I couldn't vote. It was the pre-Civil Rights Act. I had segregated bathrooms. I had to ride in the back of the bus. I couldn't eat in restaurants. Yeah,
and you know, you see, well,
it wasn't good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, you mentioned the people on Twitter and stuff. Like I saw a thing the other day, and it said, you know what? If Richard Pryor, somebody said, you know what? If Richard Pryor said what you just said, famous comedian, he would be canceled right now and all this stuff. And then the comedian wrote back to them, well, it was a different time. They get a free pass.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of truth to that. Because if the standards were not there the way they are now, nobody would have ever really thought about it.
Yeah.
It took people fighting back a little bit and raising a little bit of ruckus.
Oh, yeah.
To get stuff done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's... world's changing in some ways for the better and some things for the worse.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of virtue signaling goes on now. Like, you see people.
Tattletales.
If somebody says something they disagree with, they respond with such blind rage to it. And you're not going to change anybody's mind. You're not going to teach anybody anything doing that. You're not going to. Just be reasonable about it. Be reasonable about what you do. We're like the ESPN guys, Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard, talking about the kids who don't want to play in the bowl games. And they're like, you know what? These kids just don't care about football anymore. But give them a thoughtful answer. Like, hey, look, in my generation, we chased the money too hard.
Talking about your generation?
Their generation. They're older than me. Yeah. We chased the money too hard. We sacrificed too many moments and too many experiences and too many valuable moments from life chasing money. And I'm just cautioning you about doing that when you leave school and don't play the bowl game.
Wow.
And that's a thoughtful response. But just to tell them you don't care about football, well, that's going to put them on the defensive. And it doesn't accomplish anything except pissing them off at you.
Wow. Well, clearly, Kirk Herbstreit doesn't...
of course, he went to college, and I didn't, you know.
He's also going back for seconds and thirds. He's put on some weight. I didn't recognize him on New Year's Eve.
He's getting up there. He's getting older.
Well, he comes from a different time. He gets a free pass.
Yeah.
So there you go. Behind the glasses. You want to call this that?
Yeah, that's how it is. Behind the glasses, that's it.
Behind the glasses.
Yep.
It's been another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.